And Bo's mom read for us. You see, there were these rules, this plan for how they were going to divide up the land. And the people in charge thought that it was a fair plan. But you see, it was only the men who got the land. And so these five brave women came to Moses and they said, "What about us? Our father didn't have any sons. Our family doesn't have any men. Why should our family get left out?" And so Moses, he's the one in charge. He goes and he prays to God, and God says, "Yeah, they're right. They deserve an inheritance too." So when somebody comes to you and says, "That's not fair. What's happening isn't right," don't be too quick to say, "But these are the rules. This is how it's always been. This is the way we've always done it." Instead, step back, listen, maybe say a prayer like Moses, and then be ready to adjust course. That way, we can all get to where we're going together. Would you guys pray with me? You can repeat after me. Dear God, give us the courage to listen. And the grace to change when we need to. Amen. You can keep your steering wheels and drive back to your seats. Don't crash.
Come and listen to us, Lord. We need you. We need to be heard. Hear our prayers, Lord, for Kathy and for her parents, her dad at Westminster Woods recovering from COVID and other complications and waiting for a valve replacement, for her mom as she is doing a lot of caregiving, for Kim and her family, who are moving her mother this Tuesday, for Donna who is continuing to care for her mom, who is in declining health. For Sue, whose 94-year-old mother has COVID. For my mom, who is recovering from a transfusion and still trying to heal after a long illness. We pray for Becca and her mom, Val, who has made the decision to go on to hospice. Be near to Becca, Val, Mike, and their family in ways that they can sense and know. Lord, hear our prayers. Our prayers for Myrna and her family and friends as they prepare for Dick's memorial this coming Saturday. For Myrna's granddaughter-in-law, Bobby Jo, recovering after surgery. For Carol, who's making good progress after fracturing her foot. For Lieutenant James Wagner, who is in rehab near Pittsburgh. We pray for Sandy, who is having cataract surgery this week. We pray that the possible complications that vertigo can bring will not happen for her, and that everything will go smoothly. We pray for Tim, who recently had hip replacement surgery. May he have a speedy recovery. And for all those who are living with cancer, Samantha, Calvin, Pam, and Jennifer, hear our prayers, Lord. Come and listen to us. We need you to hear us, God, to hear our longing for justice, to hear the compassion that wells up within us as we think on the devastation in Morocco following an earthquake, and also for the people of Sudan. To hear our hope as Sue's 3-year-old granddaughter is doing well after breaking her arm last week. To hear Harriet and us with her as she is grateful to God for supplying our needs and asks that God will keep us unafraid. Hear our prayers, Lord. Let none of our emotion or empathy or care for each other and this world be lost. Hear us, hold us, and weave us into your unfolding story. Amen.
Thank you. Admit it. You'd never heard of the Daughters of Zelophehad. I'd never heard of the Daughters of Zelophehad. They never show up in the lectionary readings. They're not the subject of any contemporary Christian praise songs. When I was younger, I tried reading through the Bible from cover to cover a couple of times. I cruised through the stories of Genesis and the first half of Exodus. Then I'd start to slow down in all the laws and the detailed description of the temple. I'm getting some nods. I'm not alone. And then I'd really lose steam somewhere in the middle of all those laws in Leviticus. Once I powered through Leviticus, only to get lost in the wilderness of Numbers. I never made it as far as the Daughters of Zelophehad. But here they are, in our Bibles. These five brave, powerful women who pushed back and changed the rules. Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. As Jessica noted earlier this week, this might just be the first documented instance of the fight for women's rights, right here in the book of Numbers. The story finds us in the wilderness, but just on the edge of the promised land. After their deliverance from Egypt, the Hebrews have been following Moses, wandering for a whole generation, but now their wandering days are nearly at an end. They're approaching the land that's been promised by God all those centuries ago to Abraham and Sarah. These former slaves have been waiting anxiously for a land to call their own. And now here they are, set to take possession of it. The chapter just before ours, as Jessica noted, gives us a census, the names of the patriarchs of each tribe and each clan. Now, this is important because they're going to portion out the land, and they want to make sure that each tribe gets a fair share. I say fair, but that's not entirely true. They were trying to be fair, sort of. As best they understood it. They weren't trying to be fair to the women. The rules were that the sons inherited the land, and if there were no sons, then uncles, other males, next of kin. This was the rule that had been set out by Moses himself, the traditional understanding how they'd always done it for generations. Then in walked the Daughters of Zelophehad. You see, their father had come out of Egypt along with the rest. He had wandered for years in the wilderness, just like the others. But he had no sons, no heirs. And so his legacy was set to fade away. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan just because he had no son? They're doing something really important in that question here. They're pointing beyond the custom, beyond the tradition, beyond the rule that's always been, beyond the letter of the law to get to the spirit of the law. They're looking to the reason the rules were instated in the first place, like when you're driving with your eye to the horizon so you can see clearly to adjust course. The rules were put in place, as Dennis Olson writes, to ensure a just distribution of the land, to maintain the integrity of all the tribes, to make sure that everyone gets enough, a fair share. The Daughters of Zelophehad call out those in power. They call Moses out, pointing to their story and the unfairness in it. There's a bravery in this, these women speaking up and speaking out in a male-dominated world. There they stood. What happens next is remarkable. Moses listened. The man in power didn't act defensive. didn't immediately start talking, explaining to them how they didn't understand the way things work. No, Moses listened. He thought about it, prayed about it. This is so important. Cindy and I have this mantra. You may catch us on it now that I'm letting you in on the secret. Whenever we get surprised by a difficult decision, we say, buy time. Buy time. It's a reminder that most questions don't actually have to be answered right away in this moment. Buy time. It happens with our kids, too, when we're not quite sure what to do with whatever they just did. Buy time. You raise a really good question. I need to give it some thought. I need to pray about it. Talk about it with Cindy and with others. Moses listened. He bought time. He thought about it, prayed about it. He acknowledged their story. And then he changed the rules. As Lauren Wright Pittman puts it, the catalyst for this moment isn't only the women's strength. It also took a man in power to listen, to open his heart, to wrestle, to offer his grasp over this patriarchal law up to God. It took both the women and the men together. Though the laws were probably carved into stone, God shows us in this text that the law is still living, breathing, adaptable, and changing. This story invites us to come forward, to stand, to speak, to question. We must breathe life into those old, tired, worn-out laws. New life sprouts as the law is heard afresh. That's what makes this story we never read so important. It's an antidote to fossilization. Right here, within the story of the law, there's an invitation to re-examine the tradition. This is the Bible's own account pushing back on itself, adapting its own rules. The story doesn't just give us permission. It's not just an invitation. It's an obligation for each generation to re-examine the traditions, the rules that were created for a purpose, and to see whether the law as we have understood it continues to live into the spirit, into the purpose for which it was created. We've always done it this way. For hundreds of years, is no longer enough. Even the law of Moses becomes dynamic and alive. God in this story is alive, still speaking in real relationship with Moses and with the people. The daughters bravely speak their truth, and they get justice. But the change isn't just for them. This becomes a statute and an ordinance for all the people moving forward. Other daughters benefit from the courage and resolve of these five for generations to come. As Dennis Olson says again, they create new possibilities. These women, models of boldness fueled by hope, models of advocacy fueled by a concern for the larger community, models of faithfulness fueled by a dynamic, a living relationship with their tradition and with their God. May we too find the courage to cry out for justice when all is not right, and the grace to be ever willing to listen for God's voice when it invites us to change. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, may you go from this place in the wonder of a living God who continues to speak. Amen.